Welcome to another episode of Journey to the Rise. I'm your host, Lucretia.
What do you do when you find yourself drawn to creating a space and taking pride in making quality food? You start a restaurant and share it, of course. That is, of course, easier said than done. And the road to Pat's endeavor, Cheese Louise, may not have been what he expected. And it became a sensation that he could have never predicted. We get into the various facets of being a business owner, and that unfortunately includes a business owner's worst nightmare, and how Pat received support from his community that he never could have imagined. In our conversation, Pat brings truth, vulnerability, and a strength that only resides within someone who is meant to do great things, not only for themselves, but also their community. It was so much fun talking with Pat, so let's not wait any longer. Please welcome my guest, the man behind the magic of Cheese Louise, Patrick Kelly.
Today we talk with a man who owns a unique and specialized restaurant in a very small town in rural Wisconsin, where beer and brats run deep. He is making his own way with his own style, and we get to hear a story from him today. Pat, thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. So where did you grow up?
So I was actually born in Colorado. My family moved us up to Minnesota when I was in fourth grade. So I lived in the south suburbs of the Twin Cities. I lived in Apple Valley. Okay. There I graduated from high school.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. So that must have been quite a change from Colorado to the Midwest.
Probably more so for my parents. I think I was young enough that I adapted fairly well. I think I remember my mom commenting on how quickly I picked up the Midwest accent versus I came home saying open boat and all that.
You fit right in. That's awesome. Was there anything about your childhood or your upbringing that helped you become who you are today?
I mean, I would say everybody's affected by, you know, the entirety of their childhood. Mine wasn't particularly special or, you know, just a very normal upbringing. Living in suburbia, I wouldn't say it fully influenced my current employment situation. Actually, my parents did. They did have their own small business for a little bit. Maybe that kind of stuff runs in the blood. Who knows?
Yeah. So after high school, where did life lead you?
Oh, it's a long journey. So right out of high school, I was intent on going to school to be in film and video. So I wanted to be, probably particularly, I was more interested in the editing aspect. In high school, a friend and I took a videography course elective, and we both got really interested into it. So I applied to a place called Columbia College in Chicago. It's a liberal arts school. They did a lot of videography, photography, liberal arts stuff. So for the first year and a half, I went there, but it didn't pan out. It didn't click until later on in my life, and I guess we'll get to that point, that I'm just not meant for the collegiate school system. I was never a top grades kid in high school. You know, I graduated, but probably just barely, not for lack of, I'm not trying to toot my own horn. I do feel like I am a relatively intelligent person. It's just the whole learning from a textbook really wasn't for me. And little did I know, even going to a liberal arts college, I still had to get all of my prereqs done, math, English, science, and all that stuff. So I lost interest and started not doing so well there, so I pulled out of school there. Eventually applied to a school in Mankato, Minnesota, University of Minnesota, Mankato. And there I was going for more science-y kind of degrees. I was going for environmental science or earth sciences. So I tried another two times at the college game, both times not succeeding. And so I just kind of hung around Mankato. While I was in Mankato, I found a group of like-minded people interested in bicycles and the sorts. There was a a loosely formed organization that I joined. It was called Rebike. We had a small little shop that was open to the public. All the bikes that we got into the bike shop were donated by the community or by the college, abandoned bikes or anything like that. And we would turn around and fix them up and sell them for like dirt cheap, just so that people who had no other forms of transportation could afford these bikes and get around. The other aspect of the shop was we were an education center as well. So we were all volunteers. We all volunteered our time. We just loved doing it. So we would go in. Anyone who wanted to come in and learn how to fix up their bike, we would teach them how to work on their bikes. They could use our tools for free. Yeah, so it was a lot of good that we did there. Later on, we actually formed a nonprofit, an actual nonprofit organization, and we called it Key City Bike. Mankato is known as the Key City. I don't exactly remember why. That's, you know, the city's nickname, so we took after that. So there I took on a leadership role. I was president of the board for a couple of terms. I was also the executive director for a couple of terms. Yeah, so that I've always kind of leaned towards more of a leadership role. I feel like I have good interpersonal skills and leadership abilities like that. So while I was working there, I had a friend who was also part of the bike shop group who was going to the tech college in town for machining, so metal work and stuff like that. And he was talking about it, and I was like, you know, actually that sounds more of my learning style. At the tech colleges, it's hands-on, especially in like the trades, right? So you go to school, there's a little bit of classroom work, but majority of the time was in the shop working with my hands. And that was the learning style that finally connected with me. So 10 or so years after I graduated from high school, I got my 2-year degree. And finally did it, graduated like top of the class just 'cause I finally found my preferred learning style. And it stinks that it took so long for me to figure that out. I feel like in the time that I grew up, maybe especially in a, more suburban area, I don't feel like I was ever taught that trade schools were a viable option. You know, it always just felt like, you know, you go to high school, then you go to a 4-year college, you get your degree, you go work, or you keep going and get higher degrees. That was pretty much like, and maybe I was just naive and didn't listen about the tech school stuff, but that just seemed like the only path forward. So I tried it, didn't work out, but I finally found the way that I learn best, and that's with my hands. So I did that. I worked as a machinist for quite a while, moving around, following family and stuff. And eventually I landed in Rice Lake, where I got a job with a large manufacturing company over in Cumberland. So I started out as a machinist there and eventually worked into doing industrial maintenance. So when the machines would break down, me and my coworkers would go fix it. It was also a kind of in that situation where I learned that I also somewhat thrive in a high intensity work situation where like the line is down, we're losing money, you know, like, so coming up with those ideas to get it going. Working with my hands, it all kind of fell into place there. So I worked at that company for 6 years before, well, to say the least, kind of got tired of the corporate work style. A lot of red tape, a lot of just rules and regulations, which are all good. I mean, they need to be there for safety and all that, but Along the way, I had this crazy idea of what I thought would be a great food truck. So I was talking with my friends who own the brewery in the building that we were in, Agonic Brewing Company. Talking with my friends there, they're like, yeah, you should, that's a cool idea. You should do it. And at the time, I was mostly thinking about doing it as like a part-time job. Like on the weekends, I could go take my food truck out, make a little extra money, something like that.
Did you have any cooking experience or work in any restaurants before this?
Yes. So I did. Okay. I did work at a couple of chain restaurants. One was a sandwich place and the other was a Mexican grill, if that gives you any hints. So I did have experience in the food industry, specifically the made-to-order fast food kind of stuff. So that did kind of, yes, that did kind of influence. It's like, yeah, I know how to make food. So I was very nonchalantly looking at food trucks, and they're very expensive.
They're very expensive.
So eventually, one day, my friends at the brewery, they said, actually, did you hear there was a restaurant in the location that I was before I moved in there. Did you hear that Hot Italian is looking to sell? Instead of making a food truck, you should come be our neighbor.
Oh, wow.
And so I was like, actually, that would be fun. So I started talking with the owner of the previous restaurant. We struck a deal, and yeah, the rest is history. Cheese Louise was born.
So where did the concept for Cheese Louise even come from?
The name, or
yeah, all of it. The menu items, the name, like it's
yeah. So I guess we haven't really mentioned it much yet. So we're kind of a cheese-centric restaurant, obviously in the name Cheese Louise. So the idea for the food truck was as like a grilled cheese food truck, comfort foods, right? Everyone loves a good old grilled cheese sandwich. And I knew that, and I think I had heard of grilled cheese food trucks, but definitely none around this area. So being that it was kind of cheese-centric food, I decided I wanted cheese to be in the name. I'm also I'm a big fan of puns and word plays. So Cheese Louise sounds like, oh, geez, Louise. So it's a play on that phrase. There were some other ones that I had in case it didn't work out, but Cheese Louise was my number one pick, and I was able to make that one work.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, Pat shares how he delegates tasks so he can focus on his business and the delicious food he makes.
Do you need to unplug? What if you could step away from the noise and into stillness? Come stay where the sky is big, the nights are quiet, and peace is something you can actually feel. No crowds, no chaos, just open skies, quiet mornings, feel the flowers and stars that light up the sky. At Stargazer Farms WI, located in northwest Wisconsin, this working farm is opening the gates to a truly unique retreat experience. They are now offering a limited number of overnight retreat experiences starting in 2026. And you can pre-book your stay now for a peaceful escape designed to restore your spirit and reconnect you with nature. This isn't a packed campground. It's a private, quiet reset. Just you, the wide open sky, fresh air, and a place to breathe again. Consider it your personal pause button. Customize your stay with add-ons like flower field picnics, artist care kits, massages, mini photo sessions, or even kayaks with delivery and pickup to a nearby lake for a peaceful paddle. It's the kind of place that reminds you of who you are beneath the stress, the schedule, and the noise. Spots are extremely limited, so they're offering early booking now as part of a fundraising effort to help build this experience from the ground up. Come for the flowers. Stay for the stars. Visit www.stargazerfarmswi.com to find out more and reserve your future stay. Be the first to stay at Stargazer Farms WI and support this dream as it blooms. If a picture is worth a thousand words, what is the story your photo is telling? Guru Boss Photography, a portrait photographer and visual storyteller based in Northwest Wisconsin. Whether you're a small business owner needing professional headshots or personal branding designed to help entrepreneurs show up with confidence, or a high school senior ready to celebrate this milestone, or a couple wanting to capture your connection, Girl Boss Photography creates photography experiences that feel relaxed, personal, and real. No stiff poses, no pressure, just images that reflect you. And if you're a woman in your 40s, 50s, or 60s and beyond, you are invited to be part of their 40 Over 40 project, a one-of-a-kind portrait experience celebrating confidence, wisdom, and the beauty of aging. If you're ready for photos that feel like you, let's tell your story. Visit www.girlbossphotography.com or find them on Instagram at girlbossphotography615 to book your session.
Welcome back. We return to the conversation, and Pat shares his first day opening his restaurant and how the town he is in welcomed him so warmly.
That's awesome. And what kind of challenges did you face when you first opened up?
The biggest challenges would be myself. I have always been a dreamer, an ideas guy. I always have these grand ideas. And for the most part, I think they are good ideas, but I had never quite followed through with many of them. This is the first one that I actually fully followed through with. That being said, I am unfortunately not a business person. That is the biggest weakness I have as a business owner. I understand the basics, but all of the accounting and this and that is not my field of expertise. The other biggest hurdle was I had never started a business before, let alone a restaurant.
Right.
So to find out all of the licenses and inspections and regulations, all of those things, I needed to kind of parse out what I needed to do, in what order I needed to do it, making sure I did it right. Luckily, there are some great resources in Barron County. The Barron County Economic Development Center, very good people. They work with small businesses and maybe larger businesses as well, but they help especially first-time business owners to figure out what needs to happen. So I did start seeing them for the first little bit until I kind of got my feet wet, knew which direction I had to go, and I kind of just took it from there on my own. But if I would suggest to other people, take the help all the way, man. It's valuable, especially if you're a first-time business owner.
Yeah, it's daunting, and there's a lot to know. Like, do you be an LLC? Do you be sole proprietor? Yeah. Do you, like, all these different things? Like, what's a write-off? Can I write off it? I just tell my accountant, I'm writing off everything. And she's like, that's fine.
Yeah.
I let her make the decision.
I am fortunate. I have what I call my mom accountant. My mother has worked in the financial fields, HR, all that kind of stuff before. So she volunteered to help me with the books and all that kind of stuff. Still to this day, she's my accountant, helping me with all that kind of stuff. Because needless to say, I already have a lot on my plate, as it were. So one thing I can try to delegate and not have to deal with. That's one of the big ones.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mom.
Yeah, exactly.
So do you remember the first day when you officially opened the doors to Cheese Louise?
Yes, I do. It was, well, okay. There was two, I will say. I had kind of a soft opening before I open the doors officially. So my first soft opening that I had was St. Patrick's Day in 2023. On that day, I had two sandwiches, a soup, and a mac and cheese. Oh, and I also offered a corned beef and cabbage platter because it was St. Patrick's Day. So for that day, I had the Reuben, the Rachel. I think it was my beer cheese soup. I think I had a mac and cheese and very slim because I knew that I really didn't know what to expect. Sure. So that day I did have one of my good friends from the friend group from the brewery. He came over and helped run the cash register while I did all the cooking that day. We ran out of literally everything down to the last minute. It was almost perfect. But yeah, that day, I don't remember quite as much. Sometimes I forget about it. I'm sure nerves were just all over the place. I had never, I knew what I wanted to do, the process of how I was going to make the sandwiches to package to, all of that. But I had never actually had the practice yet. You don't know until you know. So we made it through that day. It was good. But then the official grand opening was on April 28th. That day was definitely something special and memorable for sure. I had been running a pretty decent Facebook ad campaign. So I had a bunch of people that were already interested. I had a couple hundred, if not even close to 1,000 followers on Facebook by the time I even opened. That's which awesome. I think, yeah, I don't know how I did it. Again, I'm not a marketing guru either, but kind of rely on the goofy. I like the goofiness. I like to be kind of that goofy place. So I rely on humor and wits to do the advertising, and people must have liked it. So opening day was a Friday. Yep. Friday, April 28th. On that day, I had four sandwiches, one soup and one mac and cheese. I had the apple of my eye. I had the Reuben, the Cuban, and the jalapeno popper grilled cheese sandwiches. And then I had the Bloody Mary spiced tomato soup, which is my flagship soup, and my Gouda bacon mac, which is the flagship mac and cheese. Yeah, so that day I opened at 11 o'clock, I believe. I felt as prepared as I could for that day. I knew that day was going to be bigger, so I enlisted the help of three people that day. I had the owners, both of the owners of the brewery were there, as well as one of our other friends, Cody. She's actually the wife of Tony, who was the guy who was my cash register for the soft opening. So she filled in for him because I don't think he was able to make it that day. But yeah, I mean, I had four people there. I thought we were ready to go. 10:30, I started seeing a couple people sitting outside waiting for sandwiches. Yeah. And then 11 o'clock, opened the doors and it was game on. I had it felt like it lasted forever, but a panic attack.
Oh no.
The very first customers, I froze. I was like,
sure.
Like, how am I supposed to do this? Like, we hadn't practiced as a group beforehand.
Right.
And it's just like, okay, now what? And people are lining up, and there was a journalist from the local paper that showed up, no appointment or anything.
Oh,
and
no.
as I'm trying to make the first couple sandwiches, she's asking me all these questions and I'm just like, I don't know what to say to you. I'm sorry. I'll give you a couple quick words as I freak out over making these sandwiches. And then if you want, you can come back later.
Right. When you're not in the weeds.
Yeah. So I remember that pretty vividly. Once we got through the first couple customers, that's when it started to click a little bit. That's when I wasn't quite as nervous, still testing out all of the systems of how the flow of how I wanted everything to go. And I mean, still to this day, you can always try to improve on those things, but eventually I kind of found the flow. And that day was a very good day. Still to this day is the number one sales day in Cheese Louise history. Awesome. That'll be a hard hurdle to jump.
Yeah.
But hopefully someday we'll break that.
Well, I love that you're incredibly well received and you had a line waiting for you before you opened on opening day. Like, that's the dream for anyone who opens, especially in the restaurant business. Oh, absolutely. The absolute nightmare. Like,
yeah.
The bittersweet moment. So what specialties is Cheese Louise known for?
Like I kind of mentioned before, we're kind of a cheese-centric restaurant. The focus was on the sandwiches, grilled cheese style sandwiches, and mac and cheese. That was the other thing from day one I knew I wanted to do, homemade mac and cheese. So I did some research and found this recipe that I really liked, is the Gouda bacon mac and cheese. Like I said, that's our flagship mac and cheese. It's the one that's always on. People just love it. And soups. I kind of wanted, you know, like a soup and a sandwich, or soup and a or a sandwich and a mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Cheese Louise it's still evolving, but my idea for it is just comfort foods, like grilled cheeses. It's just something that many of us are just like, you eat a grilled cheese and you think back to your childhood and you're like,
right.
Oh, the simpler times, grilled cheese and a tomato soup. So comfort foods. Slightly elevated, I would say. You know, it's not just cheese and bread. You know, I got the meats and sauces and all the other things that go on the sandwiches. So along with that, the mac and cheeses, again, I mean, you'd be hard-pressed, especially in Wisconsin, to find somebody who doesn't like mac and cheese. That's kind of what Cheese Louise is to me, is just the comfort foods. Quick and homemade and comfort foods. So back in the old building, I feel like, I mean, so for the first year and a half, I did it, except for those couple opening days, it was just me. It was, I didn't have any employees for the first year and a half.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. Mistake, maybe. But it did afford me the opportunity to, you know, build back into the company, not have to do that. It got to a certain point where I was, I can't do that anymore. I had a taste of employment with one person. Unfortunately, it didn't work out. So after that, I went back to being by myself for about 2 or 3 weeks. And I'm like, how was I doing that? Like, in just the 2 weeks, 3 weeks that I had this person, I was able to actually breathe and take a step back.
Yeah.
And so going back into doing it myself, I questioned my life. It's just like, my life choices, why would I do this to myself? So yeah, for that first while, it was just myself. And it was, I forget, I went on some sort of tangent. I don't even remember the original question anymore, but
that's okay. Did you master the Cuban? Your Cuban is a phenomenal sandwich.
Yeah, that is probably the number one selling sandwich. It has been on since day one. So my Cuban is a little bit different than what you would find at an actual Cuban, you know, down in Florida, or even what you would find at some other restaurants. My Cuban was provolone cheese with ham, salami, pickles, and mustard. So Cuban normally is kind of a ham forward sandwich. A lot of people do ham and like pulled pork or other ham things. I didn't really have the resources to do like pulled pork or anything like that. So looking back on my days of playing with cured meats, I knew that I personally like the combination of ham and salami, very good combination, especially with provolone. And then just to add that the pickles and mustard is also kind of the, what makes a Cuban a Cuban. So it's, I'll call it a Midwest Cuban for lack of a better term, cold cut Cuban. Maybe that sounds even better. It's got the basics there. It's got the pork. It's got the pickles. It's got the mustard. But
you just put your own twist to it, and it's phenomenal.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's what I like to do. I will shout out one other local business. The mustard, I think, specifically my Cuban is the way that it is because of the mustard that I use. There's a local company down in Chautauqua called Moose Lake Mustard. They have been growing quite a bit too. I had tasted their mustard before I opened up my shop, and it was love at first taste. Like, it was nice. The best mustard I've ever had. And so from that day forward, that's the only mustard I've ever used. I've got a good working relationship with them.
That's awesome.
And it's a very good mustard. And so I knew that on my sandwich, I've tried the Cuban with other, just a regular yellow mustard. It's just not the same. So I will attribute part of that to the mustard itself as well.
Quality ingredients make such a difference.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. All of our cheese, all of our cheeses are hand cut. You know, I buy the big old logs. I hand cut all the cheeses, hand cut all the meats, the deli meats.
Wow.
The soup, the mac and cheese, they're all handmade by scratch by myself and or my employee. So that's kind of the other thing is, like, I'm not just buying a soup from the supplier and putting it on the line. There is a lot of thought and effort that goes into the soups and the mac and cheese, but I enjoy it because people enjoy it.
Yeah. And when you enjoy it, then people, like, they feel that, you know, like you said, that mm-hmm. comfort. It's like you're getting the sandwich, you're getting the soup, and it's made with love.
Yeah.
And care and consideration to what's going in there. So you get a quality item, but it's made with a lot of care. I think that makes a big difference, especially in
it truly does. I have one little anecdote. There is a regular that came in quite a bit. And when I first put on my broccoli cheddar soup, I was told secondhand that this person actually started to cry because of how good the soup tasted, because it reminded them of their grandmother's broccoli cheddar soup.
Wow.
And so I was like, okay, yeah, that's what you want. You want someone to cry in a good way about your food.
100%.
But it's that from a time where, you know, your grandparents made their soups by hand, that's why it tasted so good. Mm-hmm. So to bring that flavor back, to bring that, just the taste of homemade is a big thing for me.
Yeah. When you can start pulling on the heartstrings of me, Ma, and grandma, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And in 2024, you experience a person's absolute worst nightmare and your beloved restaurant burned to the ground. What went through your mind as your life, literally all this hard work, blood, sweat, and tears, is crashing down around you?
Yeah, that's a tough one. So many emotions going through your head, so many thoughts. Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, heartbreak, just absolute heartbroken, watching your livelihood go up in smoke, and there's nothing you could do about it. It was, I will say, probably one of the hardest times in my life. That night and the following week, even, just so many what ifs, so many tears, so many just memories flooding through you about what was in there, the personal items that you lost, the memorable things. Yeah, it was. I wouldn't wish that upon anybody. It's not a fun thing to go through. Luckily, in the first 48 hours, I mean, we had each other to lean on, the business owners. We sat and talked. For lack of a better term, we had sleepovers basically at one of our friends' place.
Yeah.
It's just like none of us wanted to be alone. We needed to be together. So we all kind of hung around our friend Danny's place for a good 2 days. All of us were there together, leaning on each other. And the community showed up instantly. It wasn't even, I would say, what am I trying to say? It was not even a day or two before people were flooding our message, our Facebook, Instagram pages, with love and support and thoughts and prayers and asking what they could do. You know, people within the first couple of days, there was a GoFundMe started by our friends at Northwood Cycle. The Rice Lake Chamber, they started another kind of group funds with a couple of banks in town where people could go to those banks and donate to the cause. It was very heartwarming to see the amount of support that we have in this community. You never really, I don't think, fully understand or appreciate the impact that you personally might have on other people.
Right.
You know, this whole time I was just minding my own business, running my sandwich shop. But when I was in time of need, I was shown how many people were there for me. And that was amazing to see. It really opened my eyes as to what the influence of just one person could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it was, if I remember correctly, late October. So we're heading straight into holidays.
Yeah.
And that's terrifying, you know, and when...
Yeah. It was just unfortunately a perfect storm of a day for the fire. It was October 17th. It was a very windy day, we're in a very dry day. There was burn bans all over the county. And the winds didn't help at all. It's just the building itself was close to, if not over, 100 years old. So
oh, wow.
All timber interior. So once something starts and something like that with the wind just blowing directly on it, there was no stopping it. Yeah, so going into the holiday season, both myself and Agonic, we were, you know, comfortable with where we were there. We were looking at growth within the spaces that we had and ways that we could just keep growing the businesses. So we had all these ideas and dreams. And then the next day, you're like, well, time to scrap those plans. Let's start on a new one.
Right.
It was just a day or two after the fire. Our landlords that own the building, they sat down with all of us and they said, if you're willing to come back, we're willing to rebuild.
Oh, wow.
So again, a big sigh of relief there,
sure.
Knowing that we, if we wanted to, we could come back.
And as you mentioned, the community really stepped up for you and the other businesses that were affected by this fire.
Yeah.
Did you expect that kind of support?
No, I didn't expect anything, right? You know, it's sure. Like I said before that, I was just not for lack of a better term, I was self-centered. I didn't notice how much of an influence, how many people.
You're here. Staying in your lane, head down in the weeds, looking at the grill, stirring the soup.
So, you know, like, I didn't expect anyone to give us anything, you know, but the people of their own free will decided they wanted to do it. Yeah, it was. And I was amazed at how much, you know, the, not only the GoFundMe, but there's also the Chamber one. Many businesses held mini fundraisers at their business, including yourself, and donated that to the funds at the banks for the Chamber. So it was the efforts of all the individuals, the families that donated, but also the other businesses that wanted to do something. Small businesses. I love this community. Small businesses stick together very well around here.
100%. And something I've said forever, we stand stronger together than we do apart.
Yes. Along the lines of the community support that we had in Rice Lake, it was heard and it was seen across the state. There was a journal out in, I think it's Green Bay area, that heard about the fire and heard about the community support. And so they reached out to myself, the business owners of Agonic, and the Finewood was also in our building. He reached out to all three of us and wanted to do a story, not specifically about our businesses. He would cover kind of what happens, but he specifically was looking at how much and how great of support we had gotten from the community. And that was kind of his focus on the piece. And so to me, that was really cool. You know, like, we had gotten covered many times over by all the local everybody. Right. So it was nice to be able to, I keep trying to tell everybody, I'm so thankful for all the support, but like, to have other people outside notice it, that was really cool.
That is really cool. And what did it mean to you to experience that level of unexpected kindness from this community?
Obviously gratitude first and foremost. But to be honest, a little bit of like imposter syndrome, like, me, really? Like, why me? I understand I went through something tragic and you like my food, but did you really like me that much? Like, it kind of felt like, really? You guys like me? Oh, you know, like,
they like me. What?
Yeah, exactly. So it's weird. It's just cool and weird to feel that amount of support, to know that that many people back you and your products, I guess.
You've touched a lot of lives. Like, when a friend of mine and I, we were talking about like going somewhere, and she's like, oh, if we were going out to eat sooner, we have to go to Cheese Louise. Like, it's on people's lips. It's like at the forefront of their mind. It's where they want to go. And that doesn't, I've worked in the restaurant industry. I lived in different parts of the country. That doesn't happen unless, one, you have good quality customer service, which you do, and you deliver an exceptional product consistently. And that is not easy. And from that support that you've received, it's because the dedication you put into what you do, the long hours, and the consideration that you put into your product, your food. And like you said, it's comfort food.
Yeah.
But clearly you've made a lot of people happy and feel good since you initially opened your doors.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. Yeah. It's, again, I am not a very boastful person, but I will say I'm proud of me for what I've done. You know, it's a big accomplishment.
100%. You should definitely be very exceptionally proud of yourself. Absolutely. And with being proud of yourself, you gave everyone an incredible surprise by opening a new location a lot sooner than I think anyone expected. Like, how did this come to mind? How did this play out? Because all of a sudden, we're like waiting on the sidelines. Like, when is he going to open? What's going to happen? And all of a sudden, you're like, hey, I got some word for you. And we're like, what?
Yeah, it happened really quick. So for the first 4 months after the fire, you know, we're dealing with insurance and all that, getting everything kind of shut down, all the auto orders that you have, all the subscriptions that you needed, you know, just finding all these things you have to kind of shut down, and then just taking some time for ourselves, you know. Yeah. Finally, I had some free time, and it was nice for a little bit. And by that may mean like 2 to 3 weeks. Everyone wants to quit their job and just sit around and do nothing all day. But after months, it eats at you. It wears on you. So after a while, I think, yeah, my mental health probably took a little bit of a dive. Outside of Cheese Louise, there's always things going on in people's lives, other things. So it's like dealing with that kind of stuff. So I was passively looking and listening for places that I could temporarily reopen, because I knew that we were going to rebuild in the same location that we were. But that process is going to take a while.
Right. Yeah.
So I knew I wanted to keep the name of Cheese Louise out there, by opening in a temporary spot, and serving what I can in that location. So I had more than a few people offer to talk about what we could do, how we could work together, other restaurants. None of them were like glaringly the most ideal situation. So I just kind of kept my nose down, listened, waited. And it wasn't until January, when the friends from the bike shop, Tim and Allison from Northwood Cycle, approached me and said that, their current tenant. So before I was there, they had a coffee shop, mm-hmm. In there. I think they kind of had a rough time. They kind of over the winter, the volume just wasn't there. They weren't able to, it just was probably wasn't financially working for them. I understand that. So they decided to pull out, and both the owner of the coffee shop and the owners of the bike shop had the idea of reaching out to me. As the person that they would want to come in.
Yeah.
So they reached out to me, and I was quite familiar with the space. I would come into the coffee shop almost daily to come work on my computer, doing what I needed to do for Cheese Louise. So I was very familiar with the space. So I went in with a different mindset of, okay, what can I do here now? So I went and looked at it, came back and looked at it again with my employee, John. John has been a wonderful friend and employee. He was friend first. He stuck around with me throughout this whole thing. Any ideas I wanted to bounce off of him for Cheese Louise, he was there for me. He let me know that as soon as we're up and running, he's ready to work for me again.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
So I brought him into the fold. I said, hey, let's look at this space. What do you think we could do here? Came up with a plan, at least the general idea of a plan. And then we decided, yeah, let's do it. We both need to work. So I struck the deals needed to be struck with the coffee shop and with Tim and Allison at the bike shop, struck those deals, and I was able to get a key and into the space in the beginning of February, so I could start buying equipment, bringing it in, putting it in place, working on recipes. Yeah, so it took us basically from February we got into the door and we opened our doors to the public by March 4th. So we put that place together quite quickly. The infrastructure was all there, like the countertops. I bought some of the equipment from the coffee shops. But then, yeah, just all the equipment had to come in, get set up, and get the recipes down. So we turned that around really quick.
That's impressive. No stress, I'm sure, at all during that time.
Absolutely zero.
So how has the community been with you since you opened?
It's been great. Again, I can still remember opening day here, grand reopening day, we'll call it. It's just the style in which we cook is different. Before, at our original location, the sandwiches were all cooked on a flat top griddle. You know, like you would cook a regular grilled cheese. But in this location, as it is inside of a bike shop, it's not like a full functioning, I mean, it is a commercial kitchen, but there's no hood system, no ventilation. Sure. So yeah. I can't really have the griddle there. So we're cooking on panini presses, which I think the taste is still there. It's just the texture is a little bit different from what people are used to. Some people have said they like the paninis better. Some people have said, I prefer the grilled cheese style. So we'll probably have to bring the panini press back and people can choose if they want a grilled cheese or a panini.
Yeah.
That first day, I remember a line to the door. I mean, you know, 10, 15 people deep. And it was a good day. We only sold out of one of the sandwiches, which is good and bad, right? Like, I remember my opening days, I would sell out of sandwiches and people like, oh, that's a good problem to have. I'm like, no, that means I didn't prep enough. I could have made more money.
Sure. Right.
And the opposite, it's like, oh, I overprepped, but it was good. We, besides the grand opening day, the grand reopening day was our second highest sales day. So that was nice. A good show out for that. The first week was awesome. By now we're in week 5. So we're getting back down to normal volume, I would say.
Good.
Not a crazy line to the door, but
yeah. So what's next for Cheese Louise? Like,
currently, Cheese Louise, Agonic Brewing, and the landlords, the owners of the property, the mill, we're all in talks with architects and engineers right now. We've got, we're coming down to finalizing at least the layout, the floor plan, get that sent off to get state approved and all the hoops that it has to go through to get rebuilt. So we are looking forward to that. And until then, we're just going to kind of keep on trucking in our little corner of the bike shop. I'm always dreaming of new things we can bring to the restaurant. And my buddy John is very good at quashing me because we have limited space. He's the person that I always needed when it was just myself. I never had anyone to say no to me. So it's good to have that kind of role in our restaurant now. So we'll just keep on doing what we're doing until the time comes. Cheese Louise will move back into the original location. And it's at that point that we'll make a decision whether it'd be worth it to keep the Woodland Cafe spot as well. We're trying to get more into the breakfast sandwich market. So I'd be looking for, I would be looking to kind of transition that place into more of a breakfast place. And then Cheese Louise proper would be back in its original location.
That would be amazing. That would be super cool. So you're able to help design how you want your future space to be.
Yep. Our inputs were very much instrumental to how we're designing this new building. Both myself as Cheese Louise and Agonic, both of us walked into an already created space. So it wasn't, it worked. It worked for both of us.
Sure. We made it work.
We made it work. That we designed our businesses around a space. Whereas this time around, we're able to design the space around our business.
That's exciting. Get
all the equipment in the perfect locations, and have our personal touches on all the finishings and that kind of stuff.
That's awesome. That has to be kind of fun.
It is. Again, steering a little outside of my lane. I got the kitchen design down, but then they started asking me about, well, what kind of lighting do you want? What kind of wall finishings do you want? I'm like, oh, I should probably think about that kind of stuff.
Luckily, details.
That stuff doesn't have to happen like right away.
Sure.
But yeah, so it's, again, expanding my purview, going into interior design, I guess. So.
Yeah, you get to pick your own aesthetic.
Yep.
So for someone who's gone through their own personal hell, what advice would you give to someone out there who may be just kind of struggling to find their way?
One of the biggest things that I personally learned to do was to lean on other people. Grab hold of your tribe, grab your people, lean on them. Even if they're going through the same thing that you are, you can also be their leaning post. I've never really liked asking for help before, but that's also a lesson that I learned is sometimes you need help. And accepting help, I guess we'll say that as well. I had a couple of regulars, also like acquaintances that I would know that would personally like check in and or just drop me some cash, you know, and try to do the polite thing. Oh, no, thank you. But like, they're like, just take it. And at a certain point, you learn to graciously accept. And hopefully anticipate to pay it forward. You know, I enjoyed being a part of the community. I like knowing what's going on, knowing a lot of people, donating gift cards, you know, like just those small little things, donate gift cards to fundraisers and stuff like that. And, you know, maybe it's all those little things that I did that are coming back to help me out so then I can get on my feet so I can go back out and help other people. Yes, the biggest thing, learn to lean on other people and accept help.
One thing I've learned is asking for help and accepting help is brave because it's hard.
It is. Yep. It's not weak to ask for help.
Absolutely
by any
not.
Means.
No, it's brave because it's hard. That's not a weakness. Like,
right.
And unfortunately it's perceived as a weakness and it's completely the opposite.
Yep. But again, that's why it's good to have your community. Like 100%. not only my friends that owned businesses in the same building, but like the friend group that we had created around that all of them were with us the entire time. Families. Yeah. It's just.
That's awesome. And what advice would you give to someone who has a dream to start their own a restaurant and get into the restaurant business?
Don't
run.
Yeah. Anyone who's worked in the food industry would say the same thing. Don't do it. Mm-hmm. But if it's truly what you want to do, yeah, do it. It's fun. Boy, I don't even know what to say, because again, I feel like I don't know what I'm doing still. Yeah, I'm not a business person. So specifically restaurants, I would say, you know, make sure you know what you're doing when you're in the kitchen. Know the equipment that you want and just do your research into the market, right? I love burgers, but there's a lot of burger joints around town here. They all have their own unique stuff, but mm-hmm. I knew I didn't want to do burgers because that's easily covered already. Find your little niche, find something that you're good at, and promote the heck out of it. But yeah, in general, starting up a business, again, ask for help. There's resources out there that will point you in the direction to how to set up a business. I didn't fully take advantage of it, which I regret, but I'm here still.
Right.
It's the biggest thing for me was just taking that leap of faith in yourself. I had a very comfortable job before I did this. So that was probably one of the hard things is like, I know I could work here, be a little bit miserable, but
sure.
Lived comfortably, or for the ambitious people, go out and do it. You never know until you try. If you fail, mm-hmm. it's probably not the end of the world, but
right. And if you learn something and gain something from it, is it really a failure?
Right. Exactly. All the wasted things that I've bought food wise that didn't work out the way I wanted to. But yeah, it's learn every day. You got to be open to learn, try new things. It's never take a loss as a failure. It's mm-hmm. an opportunity to learn. Sounds 100%. Cheesy, but.
Well,
it is what it is.
Louise. Yeah.
Exactly. There you go.
And I think with restaurants, it's a lot of work. I knew someone who bought a restaurant. They left farming and they're like, oh, it'll be so much easier with a restaurant. And I went there one night and I was sitting at their bar. I'm like, how's it going? They're like, this is a horrible idea.
It's not for the weak of heart. That's for sure.
No. They said it was more work than farming.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's at the end of the day, it's fun. That's what you gotta. If you think you can have fun while doing it, that's what you can do. Get yeah. some good help around, like my friend John. We're great friends. Our kids are great friends. You know, we hang out not only do we see each other 5 days a week, but we'll hang out on the weekends too.
That's awesome.
A lot of times I found that at a place that I work at, if I'm thinking, I don't really like this place, a lot of times it's not necessarily the place itself, but it's the people that you mm-hmm. find are like, oh, I don't like working for those people. Right. So, yeah, to have a place where I get to choose who I get to be around is
right.
fun.
So what's ahead for you in this upcoming year?
Just going to kind of keep trucking on this. I've had a few people ask about some catering opportunities. I just don't have the capacity to sure. do that at this moment. Yeah, just a lot of just keeping the status quo going, getting some money in so I can finance and open up the new place. It'll be a lot of behind the scenes on that, you know, just it'll be fun to watch the building go up, because I mean, we're literally just around the corner. Yeah. I still park my car in the parking lot. So I'll be able to see that building going up, and I'll get to learn about all the building stuff. That kind of stuff interests me. But then also all the interior design stuff that I need to start researching right. soon. But yeah, it'll be just a lot of behind the scenes work to get ready for the grand reopening.
That's awesome. And if someone wants to find more about you, or like come visit your restaurant if they haven't been there yet, like how can they find you?
Yeah, so we're located in Rice Lake, Wisconsin, downtown Rice Lake, Wisconsin, on Main Street. It's at 19 North Main Street, inside of the building of Northwood Cycle. So we're actually kind of occupying a space called Woodland Cafe. Right now it's Woodland Cafe featuring Cheese Louise sandwiches.
Very nice.
So yeah, you walk in the doors and turn to the left and we'll be right there. You can come in, check us out. I try to keep updated on Facebook. So that would be Cheese Louise sandwiches. My website is not very good, so don't go there if you really want to. Our hours are posted on there. That's just cheeselouisesandwiches.com. Yeah, a lot of stuff that needs to happen in the background. Again, there's stuff I need to work on, the website and all that.
Right.
I do have Instagram as well. I don't particularly use it too much, but, yeah, just come on in, have a conversation with us. We love to talk with new customers, love to talk with our regulars and just have a good time. It's really, really nice, relaxing atmosphere in the new space. So I'm really happy about it.
It's almost full circle, because once upon a time you worked on bikes and now yep. you have a restaurant in a bike shop.
Right. Yeah, that was really cool to me. I met Tim and Allison at the brewery, and they noticed some of the tattoos I have, and they're like, "Oh, you're into bikes." So we had a connection there. And then ever since then, yeah, it's been full circle. Yeah, it really is.
Super cool. It was like fate. It's like, it was
yeah.
almost like the universe knew it needed to look out for you.
Yep.
I love that. Well, I really appreciate your time. I know you are crazy busy, so being able to sit and chat with you like this is very much appreciated. And I'm grateful for your success. I am grateful that this community has surrounded you and lifted you up, because clearly you very much deserve it.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure. I don't love talking about myself. I feel like I don't really have much to say, but then I get talking and I'm like, okay, you barely even said anything in this interview.
That's all right. You had a great story. And I think people are going to be even more passionate about supporting you and the amazing food that you make.
Well, thank you very much.
That's it with Pat from Cheese Louise. If you are in the Barron County area, be sure to check out his restaurant. He has delicious breakfast and lunch items, and I highly recommend the Cuban. In our next episode, we talk with owner and creator of Moose Lake Mustard, Tammy, an item made in a small town that's being highly sought after by people hosting parties, grocery stores, and restaurants.
Well, it actually was my mom's idea. She had wanted to do this for years and years and years, but she never, you know, got to get that done. So it was her dream and her passion to make this happen.
And that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for being here and listening. Be sure to be kind to you when you're kind to yourself. It is easier to be kind to others. This episode was produced and edited by Girl Boss Productions.